Good morning, it's Sunday, April 11th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service, our meeting today, O Lord. Oh, that your truth would be here, O Lord, your light, O Lord, your love, your very nature would just be in the room, be in whatever we say, be in our mind and ears as we receive whatever is said, O Lord. Oh, that your spirit would be here, that we would feel it. Feel your goodness, your peace, O Lord. Oh, you be here by your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, 39 years ago, the days in the calendar were exactly as they are today. And so this time of the year, we were busy as a church praying for deliverance. And on the 15th, which is a Monday, deliverance broke out in this church. There was a lot of people here. And I didn't believe it. And so it took me by surprise, but the next thing I knew, I was doing it. And there are two places in the scriptures that I want to mention, and they both say the same thing, but one of them is in Matthew. In Matthew, twelve, beginning in verse 43, and it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, then he says, 'I will return into my house from whence I came out.'" The unclean spirit, the devils, think that the place that they were in belonged to them. And when he has come, he finds that the house is clean, empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes and he finds seven more other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even that generation is even so that shall it also unto this wicked generation. Now it says the same thing in Luke, and it is followed in both cases by a statement that he makes, and he said, they pray, or they ask him, they said, "Blessed is the man that speaks these things." And he said, "I tell you what, more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, or do it." And the other one, his mother and his brethren came to see him. And he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" Those who hear the word of God and do it. So he said the same thing in both cases. But there's a little bit different twist to it. So anyway, since we were in, because of deliverance, went to Switzerland, which I desired to go to, but I was asked to go, and I went and we prayed deliverance to a lot of people in Switzerland. And we haven't had much of a deliverance in this church in the last few years. And but something's going to happen. I'm getting to be an old codger, and I know that God is not going to leave us without something happening. And so, you know, there's just, at that time, at some of the services we had 200 or 300 people in, and now we're down to a handful, but that, which means nothing. What we've done is we have concentrated on just hearing the Word of God and wanting to know exactly what God is saying. What does the Word say? And it has had an indelible impact on us. And so anyway, we are expecting more deliverance. We are hearing people say, there's something wrong with me, and I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. And that's what people were saying 39 years ago. And of course, we were a lot younger then and a lot more able to chase demons around or whatever we did. But if people need deliverance, I'm anxious to see it happen. And if demon spirits are still affecting God's people, then that should be cast out of them. And we have the authority. As a matter of fact, we have several places, like in the book of Mark. At the end of it, it says that believers shall cast out evil spirits. And, you know, so we have the promise. We just haven't necessarily kept, you know, or gone by it. Well, we have open discussion, so feel free to jump in.
Mm. You know, you read there in Matthew 12. If I had been there, I would have liked to ask Jesus a few more questions. Mm-hmm. Just what do we do about this bad situation that you're describing? Seven more come in worse than... We kind of come up with an answer by what it must be that you're supposed to do. But I am not totally satisfied with the stuff that we come up with in our own head to answer how to prevent this bad situation from occurring. I don't, you can get all filled with a bunch of angels, whatever, you know. Make sure that your person, you know. Well, all that sounds good. I nonetheless would rather that I heard from Jesus, you know, a little more than what we come up with in our own heads on that one. He leaves me a little bit high and dry. Now, that's not to say I'll forever be high and dry on that question. But a little bit, right now I'm kind of high and dry. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but I think he purposely does.
Well, I think he did purposely do it. Right. I think you're right.
Because at some point, he opened the door for us to get into the same areas. And I can feel it coming. You know, deliverance was not a one-time thing. That's part of the church. And there are demonic forces called unclean spirits that are in, they're somewhere. And I just assume they're not in us. If possible.
Just to kind of put a balance to things, of course, everything is not a spirit, evil spirit. Everything is not a demon, you know what I mean?
I think that's right.
So we don't want to get to where, you know, that's all we look at. But it's truly there. I think about that, and I was thinking, if it's cleaned up and empty, why would they be able to come in? So what is it that would stop them from coming back in? Right?
Yep,
I mean, that's
right.
What we need to know. Mm-hmm. Well, First of all, I put it before the Lord and said, Lord, you put there what needs to be there to stop it, and let me be open. You know, it's, and let, well, first of all, I want more of you in there. You know?
That'd be a good start.
More of you, truth, love. And, you know, to fill the, to fill that empty place. Otherwise, you're going to have to go back and do it all over again. And it'll be harder because there'll be more of it. You know? So, I don't know. It's, you got to kind of say, well, what is it that would keep them from coming back in? You know?
Well, I think you're right. Nonetheless, I would rather hear Jesus say that than you.
Well,
if you
fine.
Follow my meaning.
Wow.
We're getting strong here.
Yeah. Not that, you know.
It
all grew up.
Hey, I just put it out there.
Got it.
I could say, I heard from him, but I don't want to do that.
Sure.
Well, I think we have been on the path that we're waiting to hear from God. We want the Holy Spirit to speak. And you're saying that in this particular instance, you're not sure you heard the Holy Spirit speak yet. You know.
Well, that's fully, you know, maybe I have a dull ear. That could be.
Well.
That could be.
I don't know that any of us have heard with conviction or we would be sharing.
Whatever. Yeah.
At least I'd like to think we would.
And Keith is surely right that Jesus deliberately didn't give us the answer to that. And the reason why he wouldn't have is so that we would perhaps seek it on our own and, you know, yeah.
Well, let's be clear. This isn't the only thing Jesus didn't give us an answer
to. That is
we're focusing
right.
On this one today. But,
yeah, right.
To something Ken said, and maybe to go back to Keith a little bit, I think that given the amount of truth and revelation that the Holy Spirit has provided our group over the last couple decades in the Word, that I think truth is what has to come in and fill that space. I mean, Spirit-led, but standing on the Word, you know, armored up because of the Word, and ready to do battle, as the Word tells us we need to be ready to do battle. But And that is certainly different than what took place 39 years ago. 39 years ago, we saw that this was available to us through God, and God honored that. But you know, I've been looking for some scriptural support for declaring war on the enemy. And I haven't found it yet, but that doesn't mean I haven't found it. But it's not there. And I've been dwelling on the examples that Scripture gives us. There were people who needed deliverance. And it was obvious to everybody they needed deliverance. And they came seeking deliverance. And the Lord met that open heart, that desire of the heart, you know. So, as Keith says, there are people that want to be delivered, and when they declare that, and they come to us, we want to be ready, like God's army, to help them.
I had a thought this morning. If you want to come against the enemy, have a love for the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
You know? If you want to start making inroads, have a love for the truth. And I was sitting there and I heard a little part of a song this morning that I happened to listen to. And it said, it has to do with grace and mercy will make me want to change. And I was going to ask, how many of us want to change today? Because till you want to change, it probably isn't going to be a whole lot going to change, you know? And it's like, but God has ways of putting things on your heart that touch you to want to change. Now, like, it, and the whole thing was on, like, forgiveness and grace and mercy. If you feel the grace of God, you're going to be affected. And you're going to want to be better for Him, you know. You're going to want to change. And I'll be a little open here. I actually prayed deliverance for myself this morning and in an area. And I feel there was success. But, you know, for me, immediately I started considering the body of Christ. I don't know. This is what God's been putting on my heart. So, and I'm going to try to change for it and act on it however He leads. But if we don't come together as the body of Christ, then Christ is incomplete. You know, and of course the body is going to be incomplete for a while too. But I started thinking, if I don't, and I've mentioned this before, I want a love for my brethren that makes me step out of me, that makes me concerned for them, whether it be deliverance, healing of feelings, a lot of stuff, you know. And I went to 1 Corinthians 12 and a little before that, and 13. And if we don't get that, you're not ever going to have the body of Christ. You know, and in there, when I was reading, what I wanted to do was, I want to share that with a lot of people. Because if we don't wake up and say, you know, we got to start getting rid of some of these things that we hold against one another and doctrines, and you got to want truth. I mean, that's the ultimate. And we start, because it says, until you are like-minded, you don't have the body of Christ. And the true body of Christ that's going to go forth in the last days and do the most powerful ministry is going to be like-minded. And I believe that's scriptural, because mm-hmm. it says it more than once.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, the next time we have communion, I think there should be an emphasis on stop. Pray before it, if you know days ahead we're going to have it. And if you got anything that you think needs to be cleared up, you need to, as best as you can, put it before the Lord to do it. If you got out against your brother, try to solve that. You know, do whatever. And you might not be able to do it this time, but have it there and put it before the Lord. And we start doing that, and it says then there won't be those that are not getting healed and dying and whatever. You know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
And all that's motivated by the chapter 13, and that's, what is the greatest gift? Love.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, mm-hmm. hope, but the greatest of these is love. And I'll tell you what, I know if we have love first, I think we'll be really effective in deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know? We're not just out there battling spirits. No, you're out there wanting to war for a soul, you know, for that person's soul to get set free. And our souls to get set free. I'm not set free yet, you know. But I found myself saying, praying, I do want change. And I'm finally hearing it in my own ears, you know. Now, that doesn't mean I'll be goofing up in the next weeks, but it's there, you know, and I want to try to keep it there, and I want to keep praying for that. And so, anyway, that's my context now is that, you know, I'm nothing against anything. I'm not coming against Keith at all, but I'm not making deliverance my ultimate ministry. Deliverance is part of ministry. You know,
it's part of it.
It's part of it. And it should be there.
Mm. Yeah.
And it has to be there. Yeah. But it's not the whole thing.
It may be a keystone role. Yeah. You know, it may be something that would, you know, for us, I don't know if it would necessarily be for everybody, but for us, it may be a keystone, a thing that would hold everything else together. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You know, you were talking about change, and for myself, I'm willing to say, yes, I want to change. Part of that's just plain holy talk out of me, though, you know, because it sounds good. I, You know, truth be told, I don't know if I am willing to pay whatever that costs.
Well, I wasn't as ready 3 days ago. I mean, I'm serious.
This just happened. It most certainly takes some preparation for the Lord before I'm, you know. But right now, pretty comfortable. Change? Nah. No big need to, you know. Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Shame on me if I wouldn't be willing to, you know, if the Lord were to come and put his finger on something, if I were to hide from that or say, no, that's too much, Lord, leave that alone. Shame on me if that would be it. I was struck, though, Ken, by what you were saying about it being ideally a corporate body of Christ thing that is going on. Praying for yourself is all very well, but it's second best. I think it is second best. The best thing is to all be working together as depending on the greater body of Christ to be receiving prayer, you know, insight, and maybe in answer to whatever we should be doing when the house is all empty and cleaned and garnished, maybe it is receiving strength from our brethren so that those seven spirits that are worse than the first can't get in. That might be one of the things that I'm not going to tell you I received that from the Lord, but it sure could be, I think.
I was just thinking deliverance. Okay, what are we talking, deliverance? In my Bible it says to set free. So, or to rescue. You know, we sometimes, I get this picture of these movies on TV where it's like, these things are coming out, you know, and whatever. But actually, deliverance is more than that. It's setting you free to be what God wants you to be, in my mind, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that's right.
You know, like you were saying, Charlie, change, you're not ready, but, you know, it was something in you that wanted to change that brought you to Christ.
But yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, and we
that
all
was
have
a big one.
Yeah. That doesn't mean it happens every day.
No.
Like for me, like I said, I've been fighting with, struggling. This is only one tiny step, you know. Knowing I needed to change. Oh, I tried, but it's like he got me one little step farther this time in victory, you know. And so now I just got to keep praying, you know.
Yeah.
Praying. Asking.
And just admitting the fact that you have this demon and confessing it to God is a step forward, you know.
Right.
Instead of, you know, recognize that it's there. You know, I can understand, appreciate Jim there for, like you said, he was praying for doing this. Well, he's sitting at home all by himself. Him and the Lord's all he's got to pray against that demon. And I think the same as Sewell, and I know Dan McQuaid back in the day prayed for deliverance by himself at home and received the deliverance, you know. I
was thinking of that this way. You may not, if there's a big guy, you may not do that. Hmm. But because I was praying at the same time against it, you know, I'm asking the Lord to get rid of it, and, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if it takes over in a manifestation. You don't have that ability. So I'm not saying you do that for everything. But, you know, but I would say any way you can, get delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
It's like pulling a stump out of the ground as far as I'm concerned. There are stumps that just plain do not want to come up. That's not to say that you can't make a little progress by working on some of the roots that are, you know, they're available to you and so forth. And you weaken that stump some by cutting off some of those roots and, you know, you make a little bit of headway. No, you're not getting the stump out of the ground, but you're making some headway.
Just a little reminder. A week ago, you said, yeah, I prayed deliverance for myself.
Well, I know I did. Yeah.
And so I'm just...
But well, I think you kind of convinced me by what you were saying, that, hey, that's second best.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you did.
Part of it probably is the humbling of the whole thing. If you're having somebody else pray for you, you just can't admit it. If you can't admit it,
I think you're right about that.
That's a big sip.
And you also need mercy and grace. And
something that came to me this morning while we were talking is we are investing in the revelation of how important love is, and taking 1 Corinthians 13 to heart. You know, the Bible says many, many, many times to love your neighbor as yourself. And you think about when Christ was delivering people, was there anybody that had more love for that person than he did? And do you wonder why the powers and principalities obeyed him? You know, I used to think, well, you know, if you've got the fullness of God dwelling within you and you have that power and authority, you can make some headway. But he also loved, I mean, everyone as if it was himself. And speaking for myself, I fall short of that in several individuals' cases. And that is a weakness I have to overcome. I have to get to the point where I love everybody as much as myself. And when that happens, I think I will have greater access to the Spirit and greater access to God's power to be effective in deliverance.
And you have to love yourself in order to do that first. Yeah. If you don't love yourself, you're not gaining anything.
Yeah. You're not really happy with yourself. It gets tough.
I agree with what you said, Corky. I think that surely the ministry would be much, much more effective if that cup overflowed with the love of God. I don't know that we are disqualified from praying until that moment occurs, though. We are doing it in the name of Jesus, where full love is, rather than within ourselves. But that's not the...
Right, no, I mean, I'm not saying, it's kind of like saying, as soon as we're perfect, we'll go off and talk to other people, and then we never talk.
You're right.
No, I'm not saying it's a prerequisite. But it is something for us to be aware of.
You're right.
I remember getting a revelation when many, many years ago when I first started coming to the little church over on Stardust Drive. And we were having trouble with our oldest daughter at the time with drugs and stuff. And I got to the point where I almost hated her. And I felt so guilty because I hated her. But I had accepted Christ. And I got the revelation that my love was so imperfect, I could not love her with that love. But because I had accepted Christ in my heart, that was the love that I needed to love her with until my love could love her again. Mm-hmm. And that helped me so tremendously to get through those years. And I'm so thankful. Because we didn't lose her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's. I don't think you could ever go wrong by holding Jesus up as the standard,
right,
and say this is where I want to be, even though I know I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you kind of make a point, Bill Barb. We may not feel like it. It may be that those emotions of love and whatever, they just aren't there. Yeah. But if we somehow or other enlist him, and maybe not feel it particularly, but still take on a mantle of Christ, then it is kind of, in some kind of way, even though we don't feel it, it's there and puts to use or whatever, you know. And it's good to keep that in mind, that we don't have to feel like it. Don't have to feel like it.
And even when we fall short.
Yeah, right.
Well, and it's a good example where people who maybe are really close to the situation have got problems of where God can really move. Someone who's not right there might be more open to just pray for the problem,
yeah,
and forget about the hurts that have been inflicted because of the problem.
Correct.
And so you're not trying to get around your imperfectness of someone else. That's where the body of Christ really can come in and,
yes,
be effective.
Right. We did have a backup of the body at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes revelation is what we need. Just to get through.
Say maybe more than sometimes.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Maybe lean on it a lot, yeah.
I do have that habit, though, when I have limiting things.
Well, I said me.
No, me. Yeah.
And of course, one of the big issues that has been affecting me is the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
When we prayed, the first deliverance that we prayed for started at 10 o'clock at night and ended at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we don't like that waste our time or use our time or, you know, and stuff like that. But
that's way past my bedtime, Keith.
Yeah. But anyway, we have to be willing, whatever time it takes, to do it.
Hmm.
And that's a phase of love. You know what I mean? Well, I don't want to spend 3 hours.
Praying.
What else are you doing besides sleeping? We pray for people for quite a while, a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
And before they were finally free.
And you have to understand those ministers that put whole services in. By the end of it, I was pretty tired. But then they'd have the people come up and they pray for them. And who knows how long they were there in the lines after. They're exhausted to begin with.
I think the longest that I remember was a 7-hour deliverance. I say no more about it.
Well, most of them didn't take that long.
But you know,
I assume that way.
We had over in Switzerland, we had some long deliverances. And one of the things that was hard is I couldn't understand them. And, you know, I had a Swiss German, whatever. It ended up to be. Once in a while, I could understand a word or two. But I found out that they needed to deliver just like we did. And when we started out praying for the deliverers, I thought our church of people, a couple hundred people, we were going to be praying for deliverance for lots of other people. When most of the deliverances were for us.
Yeah.
It was for us.
Well, most of the church is taught that you don't have the demons.
Yeah.
So if you have the revelation that you have demons, you kind of, those people that have got that vision recognize that they need things that they're not perfect.
Well,
I want to make one comment about that you touched on. I came in not right away, but 7-hour deliverances, I don't think is not the thing to be focusing on. I would argue the reason it took 7 hours is because we were so ill-prepared, still not walking with the Lord, so had so little spirit, and were deceived in what we thought was God, that it just took that long for God to honor what we were doing. My vision is that with more power, more authority, and more revelation, I don't think that we should expect to have marathon prayer sessions. Not saying it won't happen, but I think it's wrong to assume that it has to be.
Well, two things. One of them, it doesn't have to be, but just in case it is.
Well, I think the Spirit will move. We'll know.
Yeah.
We're praying for someone and they haven't been delivered, and it's going to take a while. That's different.
It's a pretty good measure of love if you're willing to devote 7 hours at a funny time of day.
Key word there is love. Mm-hmm. Are you going to love that person enough to put in what it's going to take?
Yeah.
I think the other thing is we're figuring who's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of deciding it's going to take God this long. Well, God might say, whatever. He might do them all in 3 minutes because he is God, you know, and he loves those people more than us, you know. But he may also, you know, I'm not going to say one way or another, but the thing is, it's God doing it. So if he wants it to last longer, it will, but I'm not going to assume anything, you know. I'm going to just pray that God does the work.
Well, we assume, from the scriptures, we assume that that everything, you know, whenever he cast out a spirit, it was an immediate thing. But that's not true. There are cases where it says it came out the same hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's one case like that at least. How many more?
There's several.
But at the same time, there's probably 20 where it seemed immediate. But
yeah.
Who knows? But then again, it's kind of hard to compare to Jesus too, you know.
Let me say that there, you know, you get tired of this thing after 30, 40 minutes, you know? You get tired of it. And so you are happy to have some reason for thinking, okay, we got it now. We can stop this, you know? At least I felt that way. I felt that way. And so, if I were somehow caused to know, there's more to go here. Don't knock off now. My heart would sink at that. gotta keep going. And I think what Keith is saying is we need to have a heart that is willing to press on, even though,
darn it,
I am tired. I'm sick of this. I would like some evidence that we got to the bottom of it. We're all done. Got the job all taken care of. You know?
I remember at the first parts of it, when I got here, which it was already going, I didn't have any. It didn't seem like it was hard to pray long because there was an anointing. I wasn't doing it. It wasn't in my flesh. There's no way I would pray that long. You know? But it wasn't a problem to keep praying because God was in it. You know?
And I may be remembering times where the anointing spirit lifted something.
Now, later on, sometimes I can remember being at somebody's house maybe or something, you know, and I kept going and going. It's fine. I started to think, I maybe I shouldn't be here because my heart's not in it, you know.
I understand any kind of touch and go method. Whoo, it's a whole lot easier. So, gee, it's easy.
Oh yeah.
But if you don't think of it as being easy, think of it as, like, wouldn't you like to have the faith to move a mountain, which it says you can have? Mm-hmm. Do you think that faith would get a demon out in a hurry?
Oh, I think it would.
Yeah. I mean, so we should maybe be focusing on having faith.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Asking for more faith, you know. Because it says it's all available.
Well, and that's why I use these two scripture verses. An unclean spirit goes out of a man, and he wanders around to dry places seeking rest. And not finding any, he says, what did he say? I'm going to return to my house from where I was cast out. So what does a spirit, what do they start thinking? Tell me, what is a demon thinking? That's my house. I've been there a long time. I deserve to stay there. So now you're working with a human, with a person, and you're working with a demon. So now you have to reason with both of them.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
So what was the answer when the room was empty?
Well, the person, first off, the person doesn't realize that demon is actually not them. They have to come to the realization that that is not them.
Which is something that we should teach, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the scripture says that house needs to be filled with the right spirit so the wrong spirit can't come in.
Yeah.
So you need to pray for them even after deliverance to be filled with the spirit and to back them up and help them to accept the right spirit.
I mean, and that's probably something, you know, ministering after has
as much importance
as the actual deliverance.
Yes.
We've been really focusing a lot on mechanics.
Yeah.
We're not focusing on why and the benefits. We're now trying to drop into how long, how we should, what should our approach be, what's our mental approach. And I listen to that and I kind of go, where's God in this? Where is God in this? I want God to lead. I want God to help have people manifest and let anointing fall so people can get set free so they can have a better walk and a deeper walk with God. I don't want to try and put God into a box and say, okay,
right. This
is how it's going to happen. This is how we're going to do. We've got to be open to do this. Now, I think it's good to have the conversation that we need to be aware because God has showed us things. But I think I want people to walk away with the reason you want to consider maybe being delivered is because you want freedom in your life where you don't realize you don't have it and that you could have a deeper and more personal relationship with the Lord and that your chances of having eternal life improve because you're seeking deliverance. I don't want to spend too much more time on how long and what, you know, because I think it starts to push us off of what I want. My heart for someone to be free, for them to see that. But maybe I'm half cocked here, and maybe that's not.
Well, I think before everyone, you should pray what the Lord wants to do. Don't assume you do it the same as the person before. You know, just be open to the Lord guiding.
Thy will be done.
And you know what? You might have to sit there and wait as long for that as you do in the deliverance.
Amen.
If you really wanted to be guided by him.
Well, and I think we've gotten the revelation, and we all, at least I think we have one mind about it, is we don't want to be doing things the way they were done in the past because we call that old manna. And we want to know what God is going to do and do things and do it with new manna. Not to say what was done in the past is wrong. It may not apply now. But, hey, I have a completely different revelation towards God today than I did 39 years ago. And so, well, for me it's probably 37. Nonetheless, it's an exciting thing to realize that God has created this opportunity for you not to be held back because you have something in your life that you want to be freed of. And that is priceless.
Free to change.
And obviously, people have even started to take a veil of that, you know. You have a place where God, you start praying for yourself because the Lord moves.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if I'm praying for somebody for deliverance and I realize while I'm praying that what I'm praying for person A for, that same thing is in me, just as strong, you know. So, am I praying with the help of Jesus for this guy, or is this demon in me putting out the words? You know what I'm saying? I think we have to kind of look at where the person is doing the praying, what position he's in, too. I think we have to bind whatever's in us at the time so that we're not having demon with demon, you know. I may be wrong here, but it just seems to me that we need to be in a better place than what we were before.
I think that's right, man. I think that's right. Let me just say, I'm being a little contrarian here, forgive me, but deliverance is unusual in that the Lord has really turned over to us when we pray. He's really turned over to us what that process is going to be. We are acting out in spiritual realms and probably flubbing up a fair amount, you know. But nonetheless, he has kind of turned over to us what we're doing. Now, as best we can, we need to be sensitive to, you know, the Spirit of the Lord and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, he's kind of delegated to us how this thing is going to get handled. And so, not that we should be majoring in the mechanics of the thing, as you were saying, Corky, but it has some bearing on what goes on. It has some bearing.
Well, amen. I don't think that was contrary at all. But you're right. Yeah. And I think all Keith has said is we need to be open to, you know, this touch and go technique might not really be getting it done.
Yeah.
And then he makes a comment that, you know, when I was 39 years younger, I had a lot more enthusiasm, energy, and physical prowess that 7 hours is not a problem. I just don't know that he's said, hey, I'm looking forward to the next 7-hour deliverance.
I think you're off base there, Carl.
Yeah, I don't know. maybe stepping out too far there. But
I think Keith could do it.
I think if the Spirit of the Lord is on, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know,
I had a philosophy, and it was a little different than some others did at the time. And they said, well, how long should deliverance take? And my answer was, however long it takes.
Yeah. That's right, because someone's asking you to find how fast is God going to move.
Yeah.
It's like,
and so when a person is finally free, they're free. Mm-hmm. But until they're free, they're not free. Yeah. And just because I'm impatient doesn't mean I'm going to hurry this thing up. And I was a little bit of a contrary voice way back 39 years ago, but people were real happy to get the chip of fall type of deliverance. And that's what they called it. And
well, I can tell you from someone that you know and is close to you, coming from someplace else and came back here and was in the church and getting prayed for and heard a manifestation and a deliverance from someone in our group now, and that person turned around and said, and I quote, "Now that's a demon." Because she had been in this really big church with thousands and thousands of people, and that never happened. Of course, we know how they were taught, and so, but boy, you know, I appreciate what God has done in me, and I look forward to, with a good heart, to pray for anyone who comes to me and says, I need prayer in this area, and they have an area, and they say, I want to be free of this, and my heart will be to go at it with all the gusto and enthusiasm that I can have. I can bring to it forth because I want to see my brother or my sister free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my. And I think if that's what we say.
Yeah.
And however long that takes is however long it takes.
That's how long it takes.
I'm not putting a limit on God.
Yeah.
And I have to guard against being disappointed that God is so slow. I sure wish, but I'm disappointed in God in several things that I have to guard against. I'm disappointed in the lack of answers, as Charlie pointed out. Why didn't he tell me this? And why is he taking so long to come again? And why is so many things confusing? He has made it really hard to want to truly love him all the way because, you know, he keeps throwing all these roadblocks in front of me. For the tape's benefit, that was sarcasm. But my point is, in this area, you are exactly right. You cannot say, you get 17 minutes, and if you can't get delivered in 17 minutes, you know, then you're not sincere and we're out of here.
No, that's all the time we got.
Yeah, that's all the time I'm going to make for you. That is certainly not the heart of someone who loves them as much as they love themselves.
It might only take 5 minutes.
Well.
But it might not.
I remember just a recent deliverance that I went through one night by myself. And it was a spiritual battle in the spirit. And I knew where I was battling something in the spirit. But when the deliverance came, it was physical. I received a physical knowledge of that deliverance. So, you know, it's a spiritual battle, but also a physical.
I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12:4. And a few more.
Mm-hmm.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all.
Mm-hmm.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then it goes along to say the different gifts that could be given, you know, faith. And one of them is discerning of spirits. Now, that can go a lot of different ways. That can be according to John 3 John, you know, discerning spirits of what is the Antichrist. Or it can be actually when you're praying, given a discerning, you know. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if we have to say we have to have a gift every time we're praying, necessarily, you know. But they're there for some reason, you know. And I know I used to pray sometimes and for a spirit of wisdom or a spirit of knowledge, you know, to help out with what you
were discernment.
Yeah, it's discernment.
Yes.
Discernment's a major thing, you know. So, anyway, it's the same Spirit that works all in all, it says.
And yet, how many deliverances do we know have taken place where, I don't know what that was, Yeah. But I know.
Oh yeah,
I know
it
was something.
It doesn't say you have to know Jesus.
There was something.
Jesus didn't name most of them.
Exactly. He just said,
he just cast out the spirit. It says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never named it. You know, except the guy who had a legion, but he didn't name off 1,000 spirits either. You know, just legion.
Yeah. But I think the point made there, and it's a good one, is let us avail ourselves of what God has given us. If we're the prayer and be in the best possible spiritual place when you're trying to pray for the prayee, you know, because you want God to do something. You know, both parties do.
I remember, you know, years ago, praying, and I felt a whole lot like the, you know, in the old galley ships, they would have all the slaves pulling on the oars. They had no idea what was going on up above, you know, what was going above water and how, you know, how, where the other ships were, or how, you know, all they were doing was pulling on that oar. And I remember more than once feeling an awful lot like the guy pulling on the oar and having no idea whatsoever what was happening. No idea whatsoever. Just pulling on the oar.
But still doing it.
Yeah, well, things were moving.
Well, a willing servant. And
amen.
And I think usually the one that is being prayed for feels the urgency in those that are prayed for.
Yeah.
If you feel like, come on, let's hurry up, let's get this over with. And you even feel like it, you relate it to them. And that they don't need.
Mm. Yeah, well, and even if they may perceive that, pretty sure the demon does.
Yeah.
How many demons just sat back and said, I can outweigh you?
Yeah.
You're not doing it.
Well, that was a major revelation to us when we started hearing strange voices speaking out of people. And I know when Pablo, this lady came and we prayed for her for some deliverance. And she started talking in a low, guttural voice, and which was not her. And this made him realize that we're talking to somebody else, you know. And I don't know, ever know what happened to her.
Yeah, I thought I heard the other day, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Her husband was in the service, and she traveled wherever he went, you know.
Well, obviously, she did get delivered of quite a few things, so hopefully it was noticeable after and stayed that way.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And one time she was talking in a strange voice to her husband, and she said some things. She said, I'm going to take the kids and leave, and you'll never see us again. A strange voice. And I asked him, I said, have you ever heard that before? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Any questions from the visitors or anything?
Can I share what I wrote?
Sure. Sure.
We all have God and the devil in us, but the only thing that matters is what one we allow to take control of us.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Can you read it again?
Yeah, you took off there kind of fast. I wasn't ready.
Okay. Can you read it a little bit slower?
We all have God and the devil in us. The only thing that matters is what one we allow to take control of us.
What we allow to take control.
Mm-hmm.
Good insight.
Uh-huh.
Great. Wonderful.
I was pretty impressed that you used the word allow.
That is key.
I drew a picture of Jesus.
Did you?
There's the word misspelling.
Wow.
Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Boy, that's better than anything we brought to the end.
I think so. I think the Lord just placed that on us.
Yeah, that was really so. And that is. We must not treat these bad spiritual forces as being the boss. At some point along the line, we have within us, as Carter said, we have God in us, and we need to have God take control. Now, it's much better not to have to battle against these things, you know. But Carter's right.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I love you all.